The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour's arrived. We appreciate you being here. And Trey is up next in Nebraska. Hey, Trey. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I try to listen as often as I can. But, hey, I just had a couple questions regarding the Big Ten for you today.
Sure.
What was the point of the Big Ten acting so quickly? Did they feel like they want to be the smart ones out ahead of this or what?
Yeah, I think that's my theory. I think the Big Ten looked around and said this is a lost cause. I think they let ideology interfere with objectivity. And the commissioner, I think, was determined to set himself apart from everyone else. And it is worth noting the Pac-12 followed suit, but that was expected. And I also think at the moment that they announced on August 11th, it looked like everything was caving in, and there was no reason to do it that day, but we know that now.
Yeah, and how do you think they're going to look when they decide to come back, if they do here in October?
Well, I think the key, if they can get this thing done quickly, which is what the reporting is right now, although your guess would be as good as mine, then even though they'll have a truncated season, they'll be eligible for the CFP, which is really the most important thing. Were they to come back in November, it who cares? You play college football to win the championship. And that's why I think that cutoff date of October 17th is why you are seeing so much activity right now.
Yeah, that's just why I never understood these teams wanting to play in the spring. What's the point in playing in the spring? You're just going to play regular season and say, well, hey, good participation trophy or what?
Yeah, I mean, Trey, it's okay if the MAC plays in February and March and has a TV deal with ESPN. That's fine, but the MAC wasn't going to win the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to feel bad. I mean, I'm not saying Nebraska is going to be in the national championship by no means, but you got to feel bad for Ohio State and Penn State and Wisconsin possibly who have a shot.
No, you're 100% correct. And I mean, at this point, we've been waiting now for about 48 hours for a decision. I don't know, I know what the Nebraska president said earlier today. He said he expected it tonight, which we're almost nighttime across the Big Ten. We're 2 hours away. But if we don't get it tonight, then I would be pretty concerned that something terribly is going on. Iman is up next, and it's good to have you back on the program.
Hey, thanks, Paul. How's it going?
It's going well.
good. Hey, first and foremost, thoughts and prayers to everybody out here on the Gulf Coast, because it's a storm headed this way. And, the winds and all that power situation, and it's just, you hate seeing this stuff happen. If California had all rain right now, everything would be kind of being dealt with, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that is amazing how in the South we're about to get inundated with 20 inches of rain, and the place that it would do the most good, it's not happening. Great point.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I really appreciate you having the guy on earlier that was about the media.
Oh, Philip Stutz.
Yeah. And didn't he say 87% of the people did not want to participate in that? They just wanted sports. Wasn't that the number?
Yeah. Phil. And by the way, I mean, Philip, whether he has a personal opinion or not, and I know he does, he was quoting data. This wasn't just some talking head on some network.
Right. Well, yeah, and I gathered that. And back in March, I asked you kind of the same question. With people, with their habits watching TV change, and we kind of touched on it because that was just something in my mind that could possibly happen.
And well, a lot of this is coming, the college numbers. I mean, there were some good college numbers, but I think we have to wait for the SEC to show back up. There were some shows that didn't do as well, but the NFL was, and it was mostly, There were some games last night. There were some games Sunday night that fell way below the expectation.
But this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He said 87% because of the reasons he gave. that, you know, we're inundated with this.
Sure.
And you know what? I believe the number of people, because we've talked about this before on your show as well, I believe the number is higher than that of people in this country that actually get along and don't have problems. I mean, we navigate it every day, and what we're seeing is not who we all are. And what we have been shown, and you know, we've been forced to take sides. And it's like being in a union. That group over there is disgruntled, so we're all going to shut down. And I tell you, we've never had these kind of conversations that were so derogatory towards other groups of people other than teams. And I think that the majority of the people in this country are sick and tired of everything that's gone on this year, and we just want some peace. Like, that's who we are. We are the same Americans that was watching the 9/11. That group of people are still here, and we've been doing it for a long time until we've had so many things, agendas shoved down our throat, and you know, the pandemic on top of that. I mean, we're real people, and we're natural people, and we're good people. And I wish those people that had a problem and wanted to holler and scream would go to the Holler and Scream Network and holler your damn ass off. But the rest of us are doing fine. We have opinions, but you know what? We don't know all the facts of all these things going on. We don't know all the facts of anything going on right now. But I do know this. I know we love one another, and I think that guy's numbers of 87% proves it. And I think it's a bigger number than that. Now, you have a good day.
Thank you, Amen. D is calling next in Georgia. D, thank you, and welcome.
Hey, Paul, you know what I'm calling about, these ratings. First of all, do you think that all of that's going on the West Coast and down on the Gulf Coast and have anything to do with
that? Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if you live in California, which is only the largest state in the country, or Washington or Oregon, you have far more serious concerns right now than a pro football game.
Amen. And other things about it, people talking about polling. I mean, we already know, and talking to people, if you talk to nobody but people in your neighborhood, you're just going to get your same point of view more than likely.
Yeah, and I wonder, Dee, and I used to participate, but I get hit up every day, as you probably do, about the presidential race. I'm not about to offer my opinion, and maybe I'm, because I don't know who I'm giving it to.
Well, that's true. That's true. But my thing about the ratings is I think a lot of people, like you say, and not only California, you got Oregon and uproar, and like you say, Washington. So a lot of people.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, there are plenty of people in Louisiana and Alabama and Florida right now who are outside or were boarding up their houses as opposed to watching a football game.
Well, you're right, Paul, but I'm ready for the SEC to get started. Thank you.
Dee,
you always open
thank you.
To all opinions.
Thank you very much. Is it ever going to get here? I mean, I know it's next week, but I heard Ogeron say a minute ago, he said he felt somewhat lost watching the games over the weekend, and I think we all did because...
I know that's right, and it's kind of strange watching and not seeing anybody in the stands, but I still say go Dogs.
You got it. Hey, Dee, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We are going to take a break. We have a guest coming up here in a moment to talk about the Dogs as well. Dee may enjoy this or may not. I don't know. Bill Conley joining us from ESPN in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back to the program, and more guests to come. Let's get Jeff in here right now from Columbus. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are just waiting. You tell us.
Hey, like Sean Wade, Paul, and a lot of other big-name players, I've been talking to my agent, Jim from Tuscaloosa, and I've been thinking about opting out from the show if the Big Ten doesn't play this year. It may look like I'm back, Paul, for the long run.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, I have the Big Ten Network has called me and asked me to try to help out for the time being, and we're doing all we can.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the Big Ten's carrying your show.
You're right. We have probably never had more viewers and listeners in the Big Ten footprint than we have right now.
Yeah, I don't think the Big Ten carried your show since the Urban Meyer debacle.
No, that was one of the highest rated periods ever.
Yeah. Hey, but anyway, I don't think I've heard anybody say it, but how about Fowler and especially Herbie last night killing it on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, these guys are at the zenith of their profession, but they did a fantastic job.
But, you know, for their first night on Monday Night Football, and obviously, I mean, I know they had time to do research and stuff, but...
Well, not really. I mean, Fowler's been doing the U.S. Open tennis for 2 weeks, so...
Well, you're right there. You're 100% right there. I mean, Fowler's a five-tool broadcaster. I mean, the guy can bounce around like nobody. But, yeah, Herbie seemed like he's been around the NFL circles forever the way he was... You know, smooth in his commentary.
Well, I will say this, Jeff, and I've never done a game, but, guys that are at the apex of their career can usually do anything.
You're right. I mean, you're right. That just goes to show they're a pro's pro. You know what I mean? It's like you on talk radio, man. You're a pro's pro. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know what's going to be the best thing of this fall if the Big Ten comes back is all the SEC guys going bananas when an 8-0 Ohio State gets in the playoffs over an 8-2.
I don't know why, because I normally don't pay, but I've never rooted harder for a league to come back than this one because
how about Red Dog if an 8-0 Ohio State gets into the playoffs over an 8-2 Georgia?
That would be and by the way, when Bob Bowlesby said it the other night on the show that he would be open to it, I had never really thought that the Big Ten could pull this off. But in this year, I don't really care. I mean, if you win 8 games in the Big Ten, I'm fine with that.
Right. I mean, I'm sure Ryan Day, he's going to be running the score up if he can. You know that. If Justin Fields is playing, I don't see him coming out anytime in the fourth quarter. It's all going to be style points.
Recalibrate the schedule, Jeff, you think Jim Harbaugh is just saying, hey, come on. Any way we can skip the Ohio State game?
I hope you didn't cancel your flights for October 24th yet, Paul. Because I'm playing on the Buckeyes if they play in the horseshoe against your boy Harbaugh that you're going to be sitting there with me. There's going to be some seats.
Yeah, I have a feeling there will be. Well, Jeff, thank you very much, and we'll keep watching. Squirrel is up next. Squirrel, good afternoon to you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Paul. And I want to talk about that Philip Stutz interview for a minute, but I heard you tell a lady a few minutes ago that you're still trying to decide on who you're going to vote for this year.
Well, no, I said was I was not going to tell some. I happen to live in a swing state, as you probably know, Squirrel. So every 10 minutes I get a text, you know, saying, who are you going to vote for? So
Vote's important. So your vote's important. And I would like to remind you that today alone, he did sign he brought peace to the Middle East.
I watched every minute of it. It was fantastic. I thought it was a great ceremony.
So, yeah, I mean, so like I said, people need to keep that in mind. And speaking of the Big Ten, you know, even if they come back, which I hope they do, you know, I wanted all football teams to play. I never thought we should shut down anything. But even if they come back, we know it was only because the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 didn't run with them.
You're right.
Because if we'd have followed suit, they'd still be shut down. So they can do whatever they want to do. We know what's going on, so who cares? But speaking of the Philip Stutz interview, did you pay attention to that, or were you writing a book or working on emails or anything of that nature while some of the things he was saying? Because it was kind of fascinating in regards to some of the polls.
Well, yeah, no, I know Philip and I are good friends, so none of it was a shock. I thought he laid it out brilliantly.
He laid it out brilliantly. You said it exactly right. I mean, there are ratings issues right now with sports, and the reason being is because a lot of us have tuned out for the exact reasons he said so. A lot of us are people that really like sports, but we don't want the way being preached to by millennials and people of that nature. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not surprised. And he said 80 to 90% of people, regardless of race and regardless of gender, felt that way. And with people feeling that way, do you think that the journalists and the announcers during the games will keep up the quote woke talk?
I don't know. I mean, Squirrel, they have been, I know they've been given a green light by their bosses, some of whom are my bosses.
Sure.
But, you know, that's the one thing I can say with this program. I've never had a conversation with anyone about what we should or shouldn't talk about here. That's a decision we make collectively.
Free reign, and that's why your show is the best show on radio and TV. I mean, we've all known that for years. But like I said, that Philip Stuff said something that hit me in the court. He said a lot of good people that aren't racist, but that are turned off.
No, I ran into somebody the other day, a really sound, solid person he said a similar thing about the NFL, and I think it's not so much what the players are doing, it's the commentary that goes with it.
Sure. I agree with you. I agree. Well, it's been an interesting show, and good to hear Larry call back in.
It was. Thank you, Squirrel. Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Cat Daddy is up next. Cat Daddy, you are on the air.
Big Paul. Sounding good, Big Paul. Looking good. I want you to know last night was my first night of not watching a Monday night football game, and I didn't miss it at all. That fella you had on earlier, I agreed with everything you said. I used to watch sports and get away from all that Washington, D.C. bull. And not if it mixing it up, I don't care if you're left or right. Play the ball game. Now, one other thing about the Big Ten, don't be surprised if presidents get together and decide to give all the schools in the conference a participation trophy and
end
the season.
That's a good point. And by the way, the latest on the Big Ten, Cat Daddy, is that all signs are that they are going to return because that October 17th date is critical. We just have not heard an announcement, which tells you that there's a couple of things that they have not been able to resolve, which is understandable. Let's check in with Doug, who is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Doug, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul?
Doug, we are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, you got Todd Mechay the other night. I think his name's Todd Mechay. He does all the grading,
yeah.
NFL people.
Mm-hmm.
He said Trevor's going to grade out at a 97 this if everything stays right. And he said Burrow graded at a 94, and that Andrew Luck graded the highest he'd ever graded at 99. Of course, that's all contingent upon, you know, there's no injuries, he doesn't mess up, and he, keeps his head screwed on straight. So did you actually hear about that?
I didn't hear about that, but I'm not surprised. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, from the day he took his first snap, has been projected as a one in a generation type of player, and I think he is.
Yeah, Dabo's Madonna and them. I was watching the game the other day, and Madonna said Dabo made a statement that this was one of the most talented teams that he's fielded, but there's a lot of super freshmen on this team. Madonna made the statement that if this one of his most talented teams, that's frightening because he's had some pretty good teams the last few years.
Well, since 2015, he's had two national championships and two who have lost and another one that lost in the semifinals. I mean, he's had incredible teams, and from Deshaun Watson's era to Trevor's to where we are. I wasn't able to really get enough of a read on that game because of the opponent. Sometimes it's really a little bit hard to tell, but no doubt. I mean, this is
yeah. And Dabo has a history. He doesn't really run up the score on no teams much. So he believes in playing a lot of players. So you couldn't get a read on that game because, like you said, the opponent wasn't that quality, and he had to, Trevor didn't play, but just a few down short of playing a half. So it's what it is.
Hey, appreciate the call, Doug. We have to go to a break. It's been a busy show with the Big Ten conversation. We also had Brian Kelly on a couple of hours ago. We are not done yet. We hope you'll stick around. More of your calls and more guests. Bill Conley joining us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have everyone here. The final 30 minutes has been a busy one with Brian Kelly a couple hours ago. We're still waiting and watching the Big Ten news. And we welcome Bill Conley from ESPN. A lot to talk to Bill about here. Bill, before we get too deep into the weeds, I'm just curious, as someone who covers college football, just this interminable wait for the Big Ten to do yet another redo. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't realize a conference could lose the messaging battle as like the Big Ten did over this last month and a half, because every step of the way they made a kind of decent decision. I mean, it was justifiable to postpone. It was justifiable to wait until they could get their testing situation figured out and all that. But they somehow managed to figure out how to pick up the most possible flack at every step of the process. It's really interesting. They just need to get on with it just so they can stop picking up this flack like that.
And I mean, we can only assume they're coming back. Otherwise, they have certainly put everyone through a rather useless couple of days. But the debate will certainly rage, and I'm sure of the many conversations, playing 8 conference games versus 10 versus 11. Is that enough? I guess I'm answering my own question. But in 2020, I guess there are no rules, are there?
No, I mean, it's whatever you can squeeze in at this point. It really is the strangest season. I mean, the number of teams that, you're playing your first game against a team playing your third, that's going to happen a couple times this week. So many, all bets are off here. You just figure out how to get as many games in as possible. I assume they're going to try to, get to where they can take part in the playoff if that's still doable and everything. But it really is, this is the year to just do what you can do.
Chatting with Bill Conley. Bill, the SEC does finally, they will begin next week. I know a lot of people were wondering, and I know you've done some extremely deep dives into that. Everywhere I hear a lot of conversation, obviously, about Georgia, but I'm hearing quite a bit about Florida, Tennessee. You've dealt with all of this in your most recent piece. Take us through your reporting and where you land on all that.
Well, it's going to be really interesting because, we talked a lot in the offseason about new coaches, new coordinators, were they going to be affected with, having spring practice cut short or preempted altogether, and all the different challenges that they had. Georgia's got a very, very important new coordinator and a new starting quarterback who hasn't been on campus all that long. So if that's going to be an obstacle, that could be a problem, because Florida, on the other hand, is just about the most high continuity team in the conference. You know, third year coaching staff, second year starting quarterback, very, very experienced defense. You know, if you just look at the top five, six, seven players on each team, it seems like Georgia has the edge. But if continuity means anything extra, I think that might push Florida over the top.
Yeah, and then obviously the not late news anymore, it's been 2 weeks, but with Jamie Newman opting out, another one of those 2020 words, you know, their quarterback situation is good. They still have two other choices, but they don't have quite the depth, and that may really matter in this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, whatever they're trying to build around Jamie Newman's skill set, obviously Daniels is very talented but has a different skill set altogether. You know, we don't know how much that changes, how much they were prepared for that. I guess they've had plenty of time to at least think about what would happen in that case. But yeah, it really is. I mean, obviously the talent's there. The defense is probably the best in the country. The Georgia defense is probably the single most proven unit on either side of the ball in college football this year. And so that's going to help them obviously a lot, but you have to score. We saw what happens last year if you don't make enough big plays, if your offense grinds down, and that's going to be a real issue. Because I mean, like we were saying, there are a lot of really good defenses in the SEC, but Florida's especially could be you know, top two or three in the country.
Yeah, let's stay there for a second, because Florida fans are always confident, but this year it seems like their confidence is justified. So you mentioned the defense. Take us on the other side of the ball for a second. Kyle Trask obviously is a returning starter that he had quite a year, but is there enough there to get this team over the hump, which it's come pretty close in the past, but not quite.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the question. You know, Trask was good. He was put into a lot of tricky situations by the fact that the run game was pretty inefficient. So he was throwing on second and long and third and long a lot, but he got it done. Lots of turnover in the receiving corps, though. They have some efficiency options. They might not be quite as explosive, or at least, you know, some new guys will have to emerge as explosive options. And that could be tricky. The offensive line is more experienced. Maybe the run game is a little more stable instead of kind of the all or nothing that we saw last year. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be, both Georgia and Florida are going to be far better on one side of the ball than the other. And I guess that goes for some of the other potential East candidates as well.
Yeah, well, let me get to the others, because a program like this, we hear from all the fans. Kentucky fans seem to be making not a lot of noise lately. Tennessee fans feel pretty good about where they are. South Carolina fans are hoping. Who's next after Georgia and Florida?
Probably Tennessee, just because of the defense. The second half of last season, it took a few steps forward, I think, and they returned most of the pieces after that. Kentucky's the wild card, though. I can't wait to see, you know, after all they figured out last year, you know, they had a wildcat quarterback basically full-time the last 2 months of the year. The last four games or so, they were dynamite offensively. So if they can, you know, figure out some of those concepts, they have a really good offensive line, a good stable of running backs, and they have a quarterback who can pass again now. In theory, if you can add that to the list, that ends up being a pretty good combination. I think their defense is going to be good, but probably not as good as the other three teams we've talked about so far. So, you know, maybe that's the difference maker there. But they're easily, I think, the most interesting, just purely interesting team in the conference, just to see what they do offensively.
Yeah, and Bill, as everyone knows, you know, they play Auburn in the opener and, you know, win there, and suddenly the next day we're all talking about Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, I think we're already talking about Kentucky more than we're used to. I mean, they had, with my SP Plus projections, they're starting out 22nd, which if they finish 22nd, that'd be their best season since, I think, 1977. Granted, with a 10-game SEC schedule, you still might go 5-5 in that situation, maybe 6-4. But just in terms of pure quality, they're starting off ahead of where they have at any point in the Stoops era. And I'm really, really, really curious if what we saw last year on offense, they can continue to build off that.
And then just finally, Bill, you just alluded to that. We're so used to thinking 10-game seasons as a defining moment, but you know, 10 win seasons. But I mean, it's been a long time since we've had 10-game seasons. I mean, what's the new normal here? I mean, what's good?
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be the way SEC fans deal with expectations now. You think about, you know, Tennessee being potentially a legit top 20 or 25 team. 6-4 would be a very good performance against their schedule if they're only, say, a top 20 or so team. Same with Kentucky. South Carolina is going to improve off of last year. Their defense should be better as well. Their offense, their skill core scares me a little bit, but I mean, they're not playing a freshman quarterback anymore, at least. They might go 4-6. Missouri went from looking at probably 6-6 to probably 3-7. So it really does mess with just what we normally think of as 6-6 being kind of the middle ground. Well, that'll probably get you a 3-7 or 4-6 record this year if you perform at that level. So the expectations game is going to be really, really weird and interesting. I'm not sure how schools end up reacting to some of these records.
And, of course, postseason, I think everyone's eligible, aren't they?
That's the last I heard. I don't think anybody quite knows what's going to happen there yet, but I'm pretty sure, you know, maybe we end up with some sort of, like, second place no matter what, third place no matter what kind of situation. But, yeah, the postseason's just going to add to the oddity here.
Bill Conley, thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll come back soon. A really interesting deep dive into the SEC East. We are heading toward a break on what has been a fairly busy, active Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we welcome you back to the program, the final couple of minutes of the day. And let's check in with Andy, who is up next. Andy, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just want to respond real quick to Philip and that interview. I found it real odd that he specifically mentioned that 87% of respondents, regardless of race, felt the same way. Well, it's kind of weird to me that you only see white people on the networks or really anywhere that are complaining about athletes speaking out against racial injustice. And quite frankly, I'm a white person and I acknowledge that I have white privilege. And every time I see another white person complaining about a black person speaking about racial injustice, all I see or hear is them saying, dance, monkey, dance. And it's just another form of racism. So my message to fellow white people is if you're not going to contribute to the discussion and talk to your lawmakers to stop the racial injustices, take your own advice and shut the heck up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate the call. Let's check in with Josh, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul. Well, that's a tough act to follow, but I don't know. He kind of seems to me like a lot of these people that are so hypocritical. They want to have a discussion, but then they tell you shut up, that you have a different point of view about anything. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sorry. How are you doing, Dave?
I am doing great. I'm a little stunned like you are, but that's fine. That's why we take phone calls from everybody.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I saw you on First Take today, and what took me aback was the question that Stephen A. asked you, is there anything right about college football? I don't understand this all-out assault on
Yeah, I must say, I've done that show a million times, and that was one of the most surprising questions that I've had. And yeah, Stephen A. And Max have been very outspoken about canceling the football season. That's fine. I never let anyone else's opinion affect mine. And, you know, college football is a great thing. Now, I mean, I will tell you, a lot of people today are seizing on what Ogeron said, and whether they misinterpreted or misrepresented, I don't know. But I know that because he alluded to the COVID issues, and as if to say everybody already has it, hopefully nobody will get it a second time. But that's understandable. You know, that's just the history of COVID over these last 6 or 7 months. But I think it's a great thing that college football is back. And as long as it can be done in the manner that it is, then I think we all should be happy.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
And what's interesting, Scott, I mean, this is not an easy thing to do. We talked to Brian Kelly a couple hours ago, and I mean, he was very honest about the challenges, and everybody and I'm not saying that there aren't millions of people at home who have suffered greatly. There have. That's self-explanatory, what all of us in this country and if not the world have been through for 6 months. But, you know, in this realm, we're talking about college football. And I know I've watched a bunch of games, and you know, I'll watch a few more this weekend. But next week, when everyone other than the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will have played, it's going to be quite a celebration, I think.
I think so too. And thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really appreciate listening to you. You're refreshing in today's world. So thank you for that.
That means a great deal. Thank you for calling. And Belvedere is up next in Texas. Hey, Belvedere.
Hey, Paul, the political kingmaker. I guess we're going to compare you to Huey Long or Governor Edwards.
Wow.
So, yeah. Man, how are you going to feel? I think if Trump does prevail here, I think you got to take a lot of credit for that. I think you're going to do well.
Listen, I can assure you that my influence on the politics of this region or this country are nil, but I appreciate the high words. Huey Long, by the way, from one of the not only the governor of Louisiana, but he spawned one of the greatest political novels of all time, entitled All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren.
I need to read that.
Oh, it's at the top of a... Now, again, it's dated by 60 or 70 years, it is still one of the epic books of all time.
All the King's Men?
All the King's Men.
Sweet.
It is. Okay. It is. Let me say, it is not loosely written about Huey Long. It is written about Huey Long.
Well, that's cool. Very good. Well,
I believe he was also a professor at LSU. I'm Robert Penn Warren. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he was.
Okay. Great. I will order that on Amazon right now. And I hope your ESPN management, you know, they probably tend to be liberal, so I hope that doesn't get you in trouble.
Well, you know the good thing about management, Belvedere, I think that, you know, we're just such a small entity here that hopefully they're watching something more important than this program right now.
That's funny.
By the way, let's hope. Hey, we're out of time. Appreciate everyone being part of the program. Thanks to Brian Kelly earlier. We will do it again tomorrow.